Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right, Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it now and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. So we are using that as our backdrop here, because where we're going is into the promised land. And this is something that God has promised his people, and we're looking to take him up on that promise. Matter of fact, we don't want to leave this earth without it. Am I right about that? All right, so as I look at this, I'm looking here at the fact that God wants the earth restored back to him and his people. It got away during the time of Adam. Adam sinned in the garden, as you know. And because of that sin, the devil took over. The Bible says by revelation of Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that Satan became the god of this world. But now Jesus came. Jesus came to get it all back. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and 8 that the Son of God came to loosen, undo, and destroy the works the devil had done. So what Jesus did is he went and he paid the price for all humanity. And when he paid the price for us, he made covenant, which was a new covenant. And this was an extension of the old covenant. And not only that, but Jesus laid up an inheritance for us. And this inheritance basically is going to bring us back to how Adam was living before the fall. If you look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11 and 12, and he talks about, and I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And blessing, no S on that. Because we're talking about blessing. Blessing is the word barakah, Hebrew. And it comes from the root word barak, which means an empowerment for success. And what I said to you, the success is basically in every area. Power for success, for financial increase, success for fruitfulness, for longevity. And these are all supernatural, supernatural protection, supernatural promotion. So if you have that blessing on you, there's nothing in this earth that can stop you. It's the same power that God used to create this material earth. It's the same thing that he used in the beginning, and he took that and passed it on to Adam. Adam lost it when he sinned, but now Jesus got it back. And God wants to restore the whole earth back to his man, because his man is the one, mankind, is the one who had it at the beginning. Now, when you look at that, you have to look at the fact that the word Canaan has to do with not only abundance, the abundance, but it has to do with the best of God. Basically, it's a type of garden, Eden. It's a type and Eden was a type of heaven on earth. So now, this man was going to be put back in the garden. And so God is saying here to them, I'm going to take you in. Now, somebody's living on that land, but I gave it to you. I'm going to repeat that. Somebody is living on that land, but I gave it to you. Now, what do you need to get it? Faith. Look what he says over in Genesis chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse, chapter 13 and verse 14. And he says this, he says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, or thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. So all the land which you see, and he's not talking about with the natural eyes. He's talking about with your spiritual eyes. And he's talking about revelation. So revelation or rhema is what you're going to need to take delivery of what God has already provided for you. Now you got to see that God wants you to see things the way he sees them. Look at Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. And in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, he says this. Excuse me. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Question, had Joshua fought that battle yet? No. But he was to do what? See it. Your healing may not be manifested yet, but he wants you to see it. Come on, your promotion may not be manifested yet, but he wants you to see it. So what you've got to do is you've got to connect with it. You've got to see it. You've got to have it, a rhema of it. And through that rhema, faith will be developed. And faith is the thing that causes God to make the transfer. Ooh. Now, this is good stuff here, folks. So, as we look at this, what I did this morning, and I talked about this whole idea of seeing it, because it's already really done. And I talked about the fact that God wants the whole church healed. See, he's no respecter of persons. He sees you healed. God does not see you broke. Say amen to that. See, he when he writes it, he sees it. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody doesn't see you broke. So what I looked at is I looked at Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. In Psalm chapter 27 and verse 1, let me see if I put it on my notes here. And it says, the Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, in whom shall I be afraid? Let's go over to Revelation chapter 5 again and look at verse 12. Over in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. Here it is. He said, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power and what else? Riches and what else? Wisdom. Come on, strength. What else? Honor, glory, and blessing. Now you see that strength there. Now, if you mind, give me a moment here. I just want to refer to my notes here. There should be no sickness in the church. See, when I speak that, right away, Lord have mercy. Well, see, that's just like in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, where the spies came back from spying out the land, and they said in verse 30, let us go up, and Caleb still the people before Moses said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Well, now, in the natural, that was what? Impossible. But not with God. And it might be in the natural that somebody's sick in the church, but not with God. Because if God can heal everybody coming out of Egypt, where he says in Psalm 105 and verse 37, he says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble one among their tribes. This man was telling me about a meeting they were having, and I guess what happened, he heard about it through a friend of his, and the grace and the glory of God moved through that place. And when it moved through that place, one man jumped up to give God praise and his pants fell off. And the reason why they fell off is because he had lost 50 pounds when the glory moved. I'm saying whatever's not like heaven when the glory moves, it's going to remove it. Boy, that's good preaching now. So what happens with that revelation in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12 is telling you about the lamb that was slain for you. Who is the lamb? Jesus. So once he was slain for you, he took all the curse on him and gave you back life. And so when you're talking about the life of God on you or in you, that life is Zoe. And remember, that's the same life that swallowed up death. So the life of God can come on your body and swallow up sickness. Do you believe that? See, that's the key. The key is, do you believe it? See, somebody's got to preach this. Because it says over in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, he said, that if you believe it, he said, how shall they call on him who they had not heard, not believe, pardon me, and how shall they believe on him who they had not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall he preach except you be sent? I was sent here with $200. Look at verse 17. So then faith cometh, come on, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we've got a ways to go at the church, because the church is supposed to be a demonstration of the kingdom of God, which is a type of heaven on earth. God wants the earth restored back to him, and he wants the kingdom of God demonstrated to everybody in this earth so they'll have a chance to say yes to Jesus. Isn't this powerful stuff? So my point to you is that this that's coming on you is not only supposed to heal you or swallow up death, but it also is designed to preserve you. The strength keeps you strong. So weakness in your older age is eliminated. Am I going too far? All right. So let's go back for a moment and just look, Because God wants you to have a revelation of your inheritance, because it belongs to you. Say, it belongs to me. But you have to get a revelation of it. Now, let's look then at Romans chapter 4. No. Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at that first. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 3. All right, look at verse 5. And he says this: He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit. Now, wait a minute. Let me just cover this, because I didn't cover this. Just hold your place right there. In the book of James, it says, in James chapter 5, it says, is any among you sick? That's verse 14. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. If been any sins, and be forgiven. That word saved is the word soteria, which means healed, delivered, preserved, so forth. So whatever's ailing you, the elders can anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick. Say amen to that. And the Lord will raise him up, and if it been any sins, you'll be forgiven. Say amen. So you got to understand that, wait. You may not have enough faith as a believer because you hadn't been taught, or you're still young in the faith. So you can get someone else to oil you up or down, or whatever you do, and pray this prayer of faith over you so that you can be healed. Now this right here is better than Obamacare. I don't want to get political. But my point to you is that this is the original care. Say amen to this. And I'm saying that this right here can get the church where God wants the church to be. Because what has happened is the church has kind of been depending on the same thing the world's been depending on. And how are you going to change a world you've been dependent on? You can't do that. You follow what I'm saying? All right. So let's go to the next verse. In Galatians chapter 3, he says this: even if that's verse 6. How about verse 5? Did I start at verse 5? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Now I want you to keep this. Even as Abraham believed God, I'm coming back to that, believe God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Are you of faith?
Yes.
Okay. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. See? In thee, from him. All right. So as we look at this idea about all nations going to be blessed through him, it says Abraham believed God. Believed God. Now, belief means unqualified committal. That I'm committed. I believe it. Pastor, you said it. I believe it. All right, now people use that term loosely because we've been brought up, not in the kingdom, but we were raised pretty much with a democratic mindset. Now, democratic mindset is different from the kingdom. In the kingdom, there's a sovereign God. He says something, and that's it. You don't vote on it, you don't do anything with it. In a democracy, you can protest. Protest in the kingdom will get you hurt. Let me just say it like that. But because his word is his law. But in democracy, we can change things, change people's minds, so forth. But God said, I am the Lord and I what? I don't change. You can't change my mind. See? And my point to you is that in democracy, see, there's a fluctuation. That's, well, I said this, but I really didn't mean that, so forth. You can't do that in the kingdom. I said you can't do that in the kingdom. So everything becomes more final in the kingdom. So when you believe God, he is saying, when you believe me, you are saying, I am making an unqualified committal. I am committing the fact that I believe this word. If it says it, that's what I believe. And it says Abraham believed God. Now let's see how Abraham believed God. Look at Genesis and Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. This is a sample of him believing God. And it came to pass that after those things that God did tempt or prove Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. He said, now, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I'm going to tell you of. So what does he do? He goes ahead, and he goes up to that mountain, or where God is leading him. And it's interesting what he says here. And he says over in verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with a lad or a donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And what happened? We'll be back. Now, God just told him to offer him up. God just told him to offer up. He said, and we'll be back. Now, I'm just saying that you arise no higher than you're willing to confess. Come on, I'm teaching you in this blessing now because we'll get some blessing action on your life. And look at the next one. It says in verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, keep going, my son. God will what? Provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went on until together. Now my point to you is that when all this is happening, it is happening by God providing everything. Glory to God. He doesn't tell you to do something and then you have to toil and struggle to try to make it happen. That God's going to lead you into impossible situations that he's going to provide. Come on. He's going to lead you to a piece of property you can't afford. Okay. All right. So what happened in this case? In this case, they went ahead and verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast withheld thy son, thy only son from me, and it has not held thy only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram was caught in the thicket. They call it Jehovah Jireh. Now wait a minute. Here's what I want to tell you. Abraham would rather have given his life than his son's, because seed always represents your future. And if he had given his son, he would have had no future. People today don't think of that because the enemy has kind of blinded people's minds and so forth. And they don't, get out of here, kids. Go ahead. That is your future. That is your future, man. That's the one you're going to rely on to take forth your generations. So notice what happened here. Abraham would have rather given his life than to give his son's life. But just to show you how much he believed that God was going to use his seed to bring forth deliverance and blessing to the world, then he said, okay, I believe God. Now, if I'm going to believe God, I'm going to step out on what he said.
And I'm telling you now, what you need to do is understand this word belief means to hang with it even in the face of death. The fact that I believe I'm healed in Jesus' name. I believe that this property is mine. I believe, and that's the kind of made up mind you're going to have when you go into Canaan. Because them devils, those giants, they're going to check you out. The Bible says contend with him in battle. The battle that you're going to fight is a good fight of, come on, faith. And he said, lay hold on eternal life. This stuff belongs to you, but you're going to have to stand for it. You're going to have to stand for your healing. You're going to have to stand for your marriage. You're going to have to stand for your kids. You're going to have, because you're about to take everything Satan got and bring it back into the kingdom of God. Ha ha on the devil. Daniel, chapter 3. Look, they're going to throw him in the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar told him, said, oh, you done acted up now, too late. You're going to have to go in the furnace. If it be so, verse 17, our God, come on, don't be ashamed of him. Our God, whom we serve, he is able to deliver us. Oh, King, from the burning fire furnace, and he will, praise God. You've heard people say that before. You know, God is able. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know he's able, but you got to get to Willie. So that's what you got to do. When you get to he will, you home free. That healing going to be manifested. Come on. No, you can't get on the phone and call me. Let me call Pastor and see if I should go to the hospital. Go. Get out of the house. Go right now. Because you ain't there yet. There's nothing wrong with going to the hospital, going to so forth and so on. But I'm telling you, we're going to come to a place where we're going into the best of God. No more cutting on me. We're going in. Come on now. That's all right. That's all right. Now, look at, don't get mad at me because I'm preaching the best. See, some people don't want to hear the best. Well, I don't know about that. Don't, you don't have to struggle with it. He said that his promise is the thing, the way to take that. He said it's not grievous. You don't have to, it's not a heavy load that you got to bear to get this from God. All you got to do is just follow his instructions. Just listen to the preacher. Just receive what the preacher says. Say amen to this. So, what am I saying to you? It already belongs to you. No sick in the church. Watch this. No poor in the church. I'm going to go a step further. No more bills in the church. Glory to God. That ain't in my notes, but I thought I'd pull it all out. Praise God. Woo! All right. Now, last Sunday, last Sunday, so I'm talking about commanding the blessing. Lord Jesus, can I go just a little bit further here? All right, now, this blessing, you got to believe it. Say, I believe it. All right, let's go and look at how this thing happened. Now, remember, it was on Adam. Then Adam sinned, so it left. Now it comes back to try to put it on Noah. Noah got drunk, left. So now we're passing this thing on down, and it's on Abraham, all right? So it passes from Abraham to Isaac. All right, let me show you this. And this is found in Genesis chapter 25. And verse 5. And what does it say? Can you read that? Genesis 25 and verse 5. He said this. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. Now, somebody says, well, that doesn't say anything about passing a blessing, no, Pastor. Well, that's because you can't read. Look what it says. Look what, no, I take that off. You can read now. Look what it said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20. Because see, I'm not up here bumping my gums. I'm up here to tell you what's going on in your life. Look what it says. By faith, Isaac, what? Blessed Jacob. Now, how did he bless Jacob? Now, he's blessing Jacob through words. And the same thing happens over here with Isaac. Isaac, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. He passed on the blessing to him. And now Isaac's got this blessing, but he's now getting old and he's going to pass it on to his son. But it's not but one blessing. You might have a lot of kids, but it's not but one blessing. Come on now, it's not but one blessing. All right, so look at Genesis and Genesis chapter 26. Over in Genesis chapter 26, let's start reading here at verse, what did I have this? I got 26 verse 3. Wait. Yeah, I don't want that. I want 25. Got it? I want 25. They didn't put these scriptures down here right, man, messing me up. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 29. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. And Jacob sought partridge. How do you pronounce partridge? Wait. Let me look up here. My Bible. Okay, partridge. Okay, this Bible. Yeah, no. I know what the word was, but it didn't say that. It's my page is scratched up. That's because I'm studying. All right, now look what it says. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint, meaning that he was hungry. All right, let's keep going. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint, hungry. I'm starved, that's what the literal says. Therefore was his name called Edom, means reddish. And Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. Now, what's your birthright? The blessing. Say the blessing. And Esau said, behold, I am at a point to die. I'm just starved to death. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? Okay? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Lord, have mercy. All right. Now, who was Isaac's wife? Rebecca. Okay, so let's call her Becky. So here's Becky. And look what it says here in 20, where's my next one? Genesis chapter 27 and verse 6. All right. She said, Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak to Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me a savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. So she heard that. Verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, now he's not talking to Esau, who he should be talking to. He's talking to a trickster. But Becky put him up to it. Y'all mind if I just use some short words here? Verse 26, and he discerned him not because his hands were hairy as the brothers Esau's hands, and he blessed him. Come on down to verse 27. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see,
The smell of my son is as the smell of the field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. And let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be everyone that what? Blesses thee. Well, he got the blessing and left. Then comes Esau. Now, you know the story. But then comes Esau. Now, here's what I wanted to tell you. Esau comes in for the blessing. But the father said, wait a minute, I just blessed you. He said, that wasn't me. Father said, whoops. Let me give you Winston's translation. It's irreversible. I can't call it back. Now watch this. Won't you see this? This is a key. Because when he blessed him, did he have a court reporter taking down what happened? Did he have a lawyer to draw up some papers? Did he have even some witnesses there? I'm just saying, what God has passed on to you, you don't need a court reporter. What God has passed on to you, you don't need a lawyer. What he's passed on to you, you don't need any witnesses. All you need is the word of God. All you need to know is that did he pass this blessing on to me? Because if he passed this blessing on to me, I'm going to believe it from this day. From this day, I will never waver again from the fact that this blessing is on me. Say amen. Amen. Now look what he said, starting again at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. Starteth there again. He said, he that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law. Lord, I got to get y'all out of here. Works of the law. Maybe I should end. It's not. Let me just finish that. Worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Watch this. Even as Abraham believed God, say, I believe God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Next verse. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Am I the child of Abraham? Yeah. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Drop down to verse 13, please. And if Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that what? Hangs on a tree. That the what? Blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's you. Through who? Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Look at verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let's see what he promised you. Turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 13, please. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 13, he says this. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Come on down to verse 16, please. In verse 16, he says this. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Abraham, who the father of us all. Take that same verse and put it up there in the Amplified translation, please. That same verse. He said, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to the devotees of the law. Let me tell you something. I said it last time, and I'm going to say it this time. Faith is the only currency God will accept. Faith is the only currency that God will accept. You look at that building, you may not have a dime in the bank, but if you got faith, it's the only currency God will accept and will transfer that building into your hands.
saying, you need to do some walking and some talking, because God gonna transfer it. And he said, come and buy with no money. Your money is faith. Faith is going to either give you the money to get it, or things that are going to come over without money. I'm here to tell you right now, saints, we're waiting on God, but God is waiting on you. He said, I have in my mind, you got the building. In my mind, you got the healing. In my mind, you got a good marriage. Now get your faith together and start letting your mouth do the work. Say amen to that and give God praise. Come on, it's time for ownership. I said it's time for ownership. And you're going to have to look a little beside yourself. You go down and point at that flat, that seven-room bedroom home, or that big flat, that eight apartment building, and you say, building, I'm talking to you right now. I need some income. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you sell to me. You come into my hands right now. You put your bills on the table and say, bills, I don't care if it's $1 million. Bills, I'm talking to you. I got the blessing of Abraham on my life. Folks, you got to start using this, and don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Stop your begging. Stop you waiting on somebody else to give you another handout. You don't need nobody to give you a handout. If they give you a handout, they're going to control you with it. I'm here to tell you, take what you want and do it by faith. Say amen. Now sit down. You don't need to give me nothing. I'm taking what I want, because I'm going to let my walking and my talking do my work. Say amen. Boy, I wasn't done, but that's all I got time for. If you're here, you need to be born again. Got good news for you.
Yes, sir.
You can take it today. Get up out of your chair.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anybody would boast. Whoever you are right now that come in this place and you are unsaved, don't you leave out.